Okay, we're back. Fire finance update. You got this problem solved yet?
All right. Good afternoon, Chair Imason, members of the board, State Forest Authority. For the record, my name is Doug Graff. I serve as Chief of Fire Protection for the Department of Forestry.
Good afternoon. My name is Bill Herber. I serve as the Deputy Director for Administration.
Really, today we have an opportunity we've got a half hour to talk fire finances, which is really driving challenges overall for the state's, for the ODS finances. So really want to have an opportunity to have a conversation with the board. So please, we'd encourage you to ask questions along the way. We've been briefing the board with either opening remarks or the monthly reports. But this is our opportunity face-to-face broadly as a group. We also have Chair Imason and Board Member Kelly on the Governor's Oversight Committee. So if there's any insights along the way you'd like to share or clarifying questions, I would just encourage to participate as we go without any issues here. I will start off with really adding a little bit more context and detail regarding the structural challenge in terms of carrying the debt due to increased large fire. We'll get under the hood on that one, and then we'll transition to a walk through the details on the accounts receivable and really understanding the five revenue sources available that pay for large fire. And I'll turn over to Bill to bring us home to talk next steps with the contractor MGO and the oversight committee, where we're moving forward and how we can do that collaboratively with the board and shape the future reports, how you want to see those. Today's report is really grounding. Then we'll hear from MGO. Their work is completed in June, and Bill will speak specifically to that. And then we can talk about what kind of reports where we want to be in the future with the board.
As Doug mentioned, we will be talking about large fire finance this go around. I know there's been a lot of discussion on finance for the department overall. As you heard this morning, we'll do a deeper dive on agency finances in the June via the administrative work plan. So little context for what this is compared to what will be coming in the next couple of board meetings.
So the first slide we'll use, you've seen this in the past, and there's perhaps nothing more compelling than this slide to show the dramatic change we've experienced from 2013, both in terms of fire activity, acres burned. We've seen that quite a bit, but this chart details the cost. Moving from the 7-year average prior to 2013 forward to 13, we moved from a $10 million average cost fire season to a $70 million large fire cost for the seasons. And this fundamentally has created the structural challenge for how ODF is to cover that debt, those costs for fire season, as it's not built into our structure. Currently, ODF has not appropriated large fire costs in our budget. We do have available to pay these bills as they come in $10 million from the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund, and that's been a long-standing partnership with landowners contribute to that fund. That's readily available. And as we're paying for large fire costs and we show costs commensurate with Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund share, we can transfer those dollars during the fire season. So that's revenue source number one that covers large fire costs. The other four revenue sources that we'll speak on all have different characteristics and timeframes, processes and procedures and partners in which we work with to recover those dollars. And we'll expand in those details as we look at the accounts receivable. So really trying to unpack the challenge here. So $10 million available, we've been averaging $70 million. So on average, we have to carry debt of $60 million until we recover those revenues from the four other sources. And I'll highlight those now. General fund, FEMA recoveries, specifically the fire management assistance grants, other agency billings, so that's partner agencies, where we recover costs because we're fighting fire both. Fire does not know boundaries, so we're fighting fire and expending dollars on both boundaries across jurisdictions. And then the fourth is insurance, the catastrophic insurance policy. So those are the four revenue streams, each with different characteristics in terms of recoveries. I think the point to emphasize is we recognize we do not have the cash in hand to pay for large fire costs as we incur them. Our goal then becomes how quickly can we recover those revenues to pay for outstanding fire costs. And I would just draw your attention to the average is 70, but you see in this slide there's some significant peaks. So in 2013, carrying debt of $90 million. And how long do we carry that debt? And that's created the structural problem that the state needs to tend to, in which we've really been highlighted as we've recognized the agency's challenges with cash flows. And the Oversight Committee is focused and engaged in working on that, and Bill, or answer any questions, and those engaged can highlight that. Any questions on the structural challenges? And then we'll move towards the accounts receivable, and we'll really dissect those characteristics of each of those revenues here.
Just point out that we were just discussing is that for everybody on this board, some of us, this group on this side, came to the board in 2012. In my case, the end of 2012. So we never actually knew this period before this, which in some ways is too bad. I don't think we're the cause of it. But I mean, we haven't known a normal since we've been on the board.
Yeah. And the other piece of it is sort of when we joined the board was when you were, the big push was the legislation that restructured the way the fire costs were shared.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was our focus as we came into it, was based upon the previous, you know, that average 10 million, how do we more equitably share the costs? And we were getting educated as we came on to deal with that, and then got slammed with this, oh, we're in a whole different world. And it's an interesting just artifact of the timing of our terms.
And so that was, we solved the problem that we had, which was equity for the previous 7 years. And then we faced a different problem, and that solution actually exacerbated the carrying cash problem. Because when we, you know, prior to 2013, the system worked really well because we would collect the money from the landowner first for the first 10 million. And, you know, we would be only collecting net costs from the landowner. So we're carrying a little. And so but up to 10 million, they would keep paying that. Now we collect only half of the net from the landowner, and our other fund we wait. And so prior to that, our internal cash accounts were usually sufficient to carry the peaks, you know, where you had an $18 million fire season. We could carry those peaks, or the few occasional times where we needed to use a line of credit, it really was for a short-term issue when we had a fire, bad fire year, and a county payment at the same time. We continue to use those to get through 2013 and 14, and, you know, that's what eventually caught up with them, was the treasurer says you're not carrying short-term debt anymore, and we're using a short-term instrument. And that's what came into a head in 2018.
Doug, I think this, I might be getting ahead of your story, but you know, you've referenced the structural issues as primarily around cash, but there's obviously staffing and systems issues associated too with this change, right?
Absolutely. And that's what the next slide will bring to bear as we unpack those four other revenue sources, how can we most efficiently collect those? It's expended dollars from FISA season, and that's the next slide. And let's unpack that and understand those revenues. And you know, we have to own our part in, you know, where we're at in terms of the exposure, and how do we move forward, collectively. And this slide really tells that story. And this is what's in your monthly reports, which is the status of accounts receivable.
Yeah, but the other, I think, aren't you getting at the fact that the number of transactions also increased? They went from 40,000 fiscal transactions prior to 2013, and the Secretary of State audit found that they had gone to 100,000 transactions in a quarter during 2013, 14 and 15 fire seasons. And so we're handling 2.5 times the number of transactions with the exact same fiscal staffing that we had prior to that. So that is a, you know, sort of a capacity issue that's underlying some of the challenges with not only collections, but with staying current on accounts payable.
And that's a major part of what the consulting firm is focusing on.
That's correct. So this explains our current status, and this is part of the monthly reports you've been receiving. And I'll walk through and highlight these and really emphasize the revenue sources along the way and what our status is and limitations and opportunities to gain efficiencies as we think about these revenue sources. So this is the detail behind the previous slide, 2013 to 2019. Lodge fire costs along the way in that second column, average total costs across those years, close to $500 million, $494 million total in lodge fire costs in those 7 years. We've received to date from those revenue sources that we described, the five, a total of $393 million to date. We've invoiced $53 million to those other revenue sources for collections. So they're off our books, if you will, in the hands of those revenue sources. And then we have $47 million of work to do left in our hands to invoice out to collect those revenue sources.
You know, I think, Doug, one of the things that through the task force you get a sense of is it's not like there things have to be to a certain point before you can invoice them. When you're talking about FEMA and others, a fire has to be sort of closed out and all that stuff wrapped up neatly. And that takes a lot and takes a lot of resources to get that done. So that comes back to part of the what the Secretary of State's audit focused on as well.
Absolutely. So when we speak to about $100 million outstanding to receive from those revenue sources, I've circled, those are the two bottom lines we add up with 53 million invoice, 47 to reconcile an invoice. And again, it's different characteristics that we'll speak to. So we have the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund in hand. We have the insurance policies in hand as you look at this collection from 2013 and 2014 claims for $47.2 million. Those are collected from 13 and 14. So that leaves FEMA recoveries, other agency billings, which is primarily federal partners, with the two largest being BLM and U.S. Forest Service. And then the final is the general fund. And the first, the only outstanding general fund we have is in 2019. Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund is our most reactive revenue sources to pay for lodge fire costs. We get those mid-season as needed once those costs are incurred. The general fund is next. And for example, in 2019, much of the general fund exposure, approximately $9.5 million due, is from Milepost 97 fires in August. We've requested those dollars, and we typically receive those at the end of short session bill, so a reconciliation bill. Or if it's a long, you're connecting the dots. If it's a long, a full session, typically early session bill or at the end of session, June. So doing the math, you know, that's between a 6 month to a 1 year in recoveries. But that's one of our more reactive ones of the remaining. I would also draw your attention to highlight the red indicates that these are estimates because we have not received some of the billings from federal partners to know the full cost of those fires, which then links to without those full costs of the fires, we cannot make our FEMA claim to recover our costs incurred on FEMA claim, and finally collect our insurance policy due because they'll only bill on the actuals. So the insurance adjuster, just like if you had a vehicle accident, shows up and we sit with them and they hire a local forensic accountant and we open all our books. So they're the last to receive those dollars. But those are the sequence and timing, as Chair Imeson mentioned, that matters. And we've been very surgical around where we put our limited capacity to move these things along. So for example, I would highlight for the 15 fires, we have 13 million outstanding. $11 million of that is FEMA claims. But FEMA currently has $20 million of claims on their desk that we've submitted here, and they can only process so quickly. So I'm going to turn our attention to other places to get other agency billings out and be very surgical around where we're putting our limited capacity to move these to invoices. I can put more dollars into FEMA, and we're not going to move those dollars out to us because we don't control that situation. They're limited with capacity. Our peers, go ahead. Yeah.
Just a stray thought, and you may not have any idea, but looking at this, if we know that our insurance is the last to pay out, and looking at the length of time it's taking us to get to the last, is the fact that whoever underwrites our insurance policy basically has our money to play with and invest elsewhere for multiple years,
yeah,
impacting the willingness of folks to underwrite our insurance policy?
No, Board Member Williams, it's been a good process with the insurance. This is so much more detail I can't get to in the time, but I would highlight both FEMA and the insurance have been working closely with us to make payments on partial payments. So it's the final claim, that last $2 million that we need to claim. We had to close out the books for 13 and 14. Along the way, we received $10 million installment, $15 million installment. And FEMA has been doing the same thing for us. When we have federal billings that we have not received to know our final cost all the way back to 15, then FEMA is saying, we'll make a partial payment to you up until what you know your final cost is. And we've asked for that when surgically, that's made sense. In other times, it hasn't. For example, in 2018, we had a $15 million for one single claim to FEMA. I could go ask for partial claims on $2 million fires. I'm going to put the $15 million fire in front of them first and spend their time there.
Basically, if we get this straightened out, cleaned up, and close out quicker, it's not going to have a detrimental impact on our ability to get an insurance.
Absolutely. So I'll draw your attention to how we've shifted in terms of our practices moving forward, recognizing this challenge, i.e. we cannot be back to 2015. Regardless of how surgical I've been highlighting and how detailed we've been efforting, we need to bring these dollars in as soon as possible. The reality, as I look at my peers across the West, it's a 2 to 4 year cycle, best case scenario. 2 years. And if you take a look at these two scenarios and the processes from 2015 and 2018, I would highlight. In 2015, if you look at our how much we've invoiced or received, we're sitting at about 82% of our exposure that we've received or invoiced. So we've done the work there for 2015. In 2018, we started a different process of billings with close partnerships at Forest Service, BLM, our federal agencies, to commit to meeting in the following spring once payroll audits are done, once a variety of other audits are done, cross-jurisdictional. We meet to settle those costs. And you can see we've collected or invoiced 93% of our outstanding receivables in 2018 with the new system. The fundamental difference between how we're operating now from 2018 forward from what we've done previous years is cross billings. I've mentioned we're waiting for billings, and to be fair, Forest Service, BLM, they're waiting for some billings for us on 15 also. That last 2 million outside of the FEMA claims, we have work to do on our end to do a cost share and close out those fires with our federal partners. And sometimes we have to bill them, sometimes they bill us, and then we go after the FEMA claim. We're committing to do that work the following spring to expedite the time of recovery. So they've been good partners with us. They share the same experience in terms of large fire costs, our federal partners, same staffing, same capacity, different world that we're all collectively living in. And the system beyond ODF has to catch up with the new reality also. So this is one experience in Oregon we've invested in. I wanted to highlight we've made good inroads. But once again, you know, we're looking at all these recoveries. I do want 15 off the books. Frankly, even at this point, right, this looks tough in the narrative. I will highlight there some of this was conscious decisions to go after more larger recoveries and easier achievable recoveries, you know, in the recent past than closing out what we had in 15. We want these off the books, no doubt. And the final piece I would bring your attention to is the amount invoiced for 13 and 14. Is this a cash gap or not? Because these are sitting out there for quite some time. Yeah, those invoices been there for a while. And four of the seven fires are with BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, and then the remaining three fires that accumulate these costs are with the Forest Service BLM. And we are close with our federal partners, highlighting the list of invoices they have with the limited work they have. I'm targeting the quickest or the largest recoverables. And so they're prioritizing their limited effort to effort towards the receivables that matter the most to us in terms of cash flow. These haven't been it, but I need to get these off the books, and I've asked them effort in that direction. One of the challenges we're finding is once you put an invoice out, that does not mean the process is over. It moves from the local district up to the state and regional office, out to the Albuquerque on the federal side, and comes back to us all the way back down the chain and says, we need to rework this one. This one doesn't pass muster. And then we open the books back up and redo an invoice and send it forward. So there's complications also. Once you send an invoice in, doesn't mean you're going to receive, you know, that quickly. And unfortunately, one of these fires, this is a Rowena fire in 14, sits in that world. To further complicate that, if it's not an acceptable bill to the Forest Service, then we have an opportunity to make some claim to the FEMA on that fire, and we have to open up those books again. So getting it right on the front end, back to capacity, training, rigor in the system, taking a lot of time, and I want to turn to Bill. Those are the things we need to move towards to not be in this situation. But I would want to really emphasize to the board and recognize that we don't have all the controls. We have a circle of control in this narrative, and that's how we come to the table, the available dollars with the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund and the circle of influence otherwise, for the remaining, you know, four revenue sources, general fund, insurance policy, other agency billings, and FEMA. And we need to posture as best we can moving forward. And I just really want to highlight, this work is additional on the staff we have, to the folks paying the bills, running the business, keeping the lights on, doing payroll. And then I come and ask them, now we need to process some heavy, large claims with this complexity. And they're working weekends still today. So a shout out to the firefighters is common, when the fire bell rings and the smoke and flames in the air. And I want to just emphasize what I have been asking personally of the staff across the state, to the degree last weekend a team was put up to close out one of these fires because they had a day job beyond that. And that's where we need to think about modernizing the system, because this reality back here is no longer what we need to be building for. How do we sustain financially this effort and not carry this debt, minimize how long we carry the debt, because we don't want to be back to 2015 or 2013 in terms of recoveries in this case. With that, I'll turn it to Bill to talk about the next steps.
One other question, and that is, across the years of the amount that either has been invoiced or is remaining to be invoiced, but we have not yet been paid, reimbursed, is there a pattern to those that are problematic, and is it a, you know, sort of what are the elements that make it something that's tough to get reimbursed for?
So we've looked at what percentage comes back, and MGO is going to help with that. That's one of the things we've asked them. And it's well over 35% come back. So is that on the front end? What's missing on the front end in terms of training, consistency, policies, rigor in the system that we don't have come back? Part of the challenge is reconciliation from years past. You have different people in different seats. At this time, retirements, new faces, and the continuity of those close to the fire and then do the billings can be a miss at times. And frankly, this is complex. And one day, you have 100 hot fires on the landscape, and you're putting those fires out and making agreements on the front of the hood, you know, in terms of resources, and you got to put all that narrative back together into a financial statement in terms of who's paying for what. With the same people who are being asked to be on the fire and manage the financials on the fire, then to process the billings following. It's certainly a capacity issue. So there's a lot of reasons why that's happening on both sides of the equation, internally to ODF and externally in our partners, and we need to tackle that together.
And I'll just add that in 2017 and 2018, during the height of fire season, nobody was asking, was I collecting my bills on time? They were asking, was I spending enough money to put the fire out? And then secondly, were I paying the vendors on time? That was a focus. And so, you know, when we're in the midst of fire season, our job's to put that fire out and protect communities. And that's kind of where our focus is. And then we come back after a year like 17 and 18 back to back, and we expect people to start working, you know, 10-hour days to start cleaning up the finances. It's a tough position to put the agency in.
Yeah. No problem on the time, Doug. I think that was a good discussion to have. There's a lot of background in there. A few, you know, salient points is that, like Doug mentioned, we have those peaks. We used to have tools to manage peaks, but really the cumulative effect of this thing is hammering us on cash, capacity, process. All of it's overwhelmed. We can get around doing it occasionally, but back after back after back is just overwhelming all aspects of the system, including the operational sides. And the other one is that AR component that Chair Imason talked about. You know, when we hear the story that we have $50 million to bill, people think just turn on a printer and start cranking out the invoices and putting them in the mail, and it's not that easy. There's a lot of reliance on our partners to get to that point where we can send that invoice out. So a couple of key points as we go through all of this. With that, I'll keep moving forward and get us back on time. So I'll kind of go through these slides really quick. Like I said, you'll hear more about this in the future as we do some deep dives into finance. The first couple of bullet points in the short-term improvements were Doug's to talk about some of those changes he mentioned between how we did business and how we do business now. But I think the most important point is that they are working. They are making a difference. So we did do some staffing process and partnership adjustments, and it's paying off in spades. On the last one, cash flow tracking and projection improvements, we have found through all this work that the agency undoubtedly had gaps in its ability to track cash flow and really get a sense of where it stood, not only at any point in time or what was, or most importantly, what was coming in the future. You know, like I said, we were getting overwhelmed with capacity, and we just didn't have the systems to put those pieces together. Part of this work, we have been admin staff focusing on tools and processes to get us through collecting all that disparate data. This agency has a lot of data. We struggle at information, pulling all that together. It's a lot of it's tied in different disparate systems. So we've been working on pulling all that together and getting it in robust tools. One of those products is a cash flow tool, projection tool that kind of really outlines our current situation as well. More importantly, focuses on our future condition based on various variables that we can factor in, such as the expected fire season or things of that nature. So we've been getting better at doing that work. That's what you'll be seeing in June is we're about operationalizing that tool right now. It's in a place where we were using it to model some things for the legislative session, but by June it's going to be operationalized, and you'll be doing some deeper looks at what that is as far as the finances of the agency in that June topic. But as State Forester Doherty mentioned this morning, that tool allowed us to see that we were in a need of immediate assistance to maintain operations this biennium. Hence, we have two requests down during the legislative session, one for about $52 million for maintaining core operations and pre-positioning about $20 million for a low fire season. And then the second request is a $92 million request that would allow us to respond to a heavy fire season. The idea, if those were approved, it would put us in a place where we didn't have to rely on our core operational budgets as much as we do now. There's always going to be that need to rely on those. As Doug talked about how the money comes in, there's always going to be a immediate need to rely on the core or the agency's core operational reserves, but it would lessen the need for that. So we're looking forward to, you know, how that all plays out. But with the, you know, the short and midterm improvements, we're looking at our current financial system. But what's, we mentioned the structural problem. That's what we're really wanting to address. So we're not in this situation as we move forward. And that's where the governor has put together the forestry financial oversight team. This consists of governor's office, DAS, CFO, agency staff, as well as two board of forestry members, as we mentioned earlier, and the chair of the Wildfire Council, Mr. Donegan. So that's the team, and they've really been focused on the immediate financial system and preparing for the 2020 fire season, as well as discussing what an ultimately a 20 or a long-term solution might look like. One of the bigger efforts under that umbrella has been working with a outside consultant, Macias, Ginny, and O'Connell, MGO. I'm sure heard them referred over and over again. But for the last 2 months, they have been on site working with administrative staff. And while their work is being kind of progressively elaborated, they came in thinking one thing and then quickly saw that it was something else, primarily around what Chair Imason discussed. They thought we had a need for kind of staff augmentation services, that we were just overwhelmed with the sheer amount of work, and they quickly saw there was a bunch of nuances for it. So their work changed from staff aug to more of a process consultant improvement effort. So we're looking forward to their work. And I'll highlight real quick, you know, won't go deep into it because you'll be hearing from them in the next maybe April or June board meeting. I actually want to bring them in here to present to the board so you can ask questions of them directly, but we'll go a little deep dive on, or a shallow dive on their project plan and time frame. So they have been here for the last couple of months doing a lot of initial assessments. Well, now they're into assessments as a whole. And for since February and through June, they're really always reassessing the situation. They kind of outline that the assessments never stop because they always learn something new with the organization. Like I said, we have a lot of data out there and they're pulling all that together and making a lot of assumptions. They have identified some areas for improvement. Initially, they went through all, they've been to every district. They've spent a lot of time with headquarters staff. They've talked to a lot of our stakeholders at legislative and DAS staffing offices. So they got a good insight of what the organization's current status is. And it didn't take them long to kind of focus in some areas that they said undoubtedly would need some improvement through the organization. One's oversight and accountability. They noted our historical reporting structure might not be serving us well. We have our agencies, you know, has a lot of history behind it. There's a lot of statutes that are very aged. The way we approach fire, you know, the operationally of fire, all of that fits in. You know, it works for Oregon. They're looking at some of the organizational structures and whether that fits well for us as it is today. On budgeting, they noticed some challenges we have with our legislative biennial budget and the annual fiscal operating budgets. There's, you know, a little mismatch there in our ability to accurately forecast cash flows across all our revenue channels, not just large fire, but business in general. Resources and training, no doubt they identified a lack of sufficient capacity in many areas, as well as maybe training, both initial and ongoing, might not be up to snuff. They noted a lot of issues with standardization across the agency. We got 12 districts and headquarters with quite a few programs, you know, issues with standardization through all that. And a big driver of that is the information technology. We suffer inconsistencies and inefficiencies with lots of disparate data systems, and they've identified that as a key driver of some of our problems. In procurement, they noted that we haven't fully implemented the Oregon Buys procurement system. We use it as a purchasing system right now. It's actually a statewide effort, so we're kind of under the timeline of the statewide initiative for procurement. So that one's kind of laying within that overall effort. So like I said, when they first started, they were looking at just helping us with the work. That's no longer the case. They're going to focus on doing a lot of data sampling and validation. So they're going to go through all our data from all its data sources, verify the numbers Doug put up on the screen. They're going to go down and try to get to the penny whether those systems are producing the right number, whether they can be reconciled across all the disparate systems, doing a lot of validation there. That's an effort I'm really excited that they're spending some time on, and one we can leverage well. One of their primary objectives was to produce some cash flow tools for accounts receivable, accounts payable, cash flow projection in general. Through this process, they've discovered that admin has been working on all of this since before they came, and they've learned that that was another thing that they didn't expect coming in, that the department was looking at a lot of this stuff and making a lot of advancements. And so they'll be working with admin staff to learn more about those systems and leverage them as they work on producing their cash flow tools. So we'll be leveraging what's currently in there as well as the approach that they take. So with that, I know we're out of time. So we'll just say that we're continuing to work with oversight, the oversight team and MGO. Staff's excited about having MGO here fully engaged. We're supporting their work plan, their efforts, their approach. Implementing recommendations, when they wrap up in June, they are going to have recommendations. State Forester and the executive team fully committed to we're implementing those recommendations and moving forward with what they see as a better way to do business here in the Department of Forestry. And like I said, they are going to be here. We're currently scheduling so they can be here in person. And many of the recommendations can likely be implemented internally, but some of them surely are going to have legislative asks for budget, capacity, things of that nature. So you'll be seeing that through our policy option package and budget development process. With that, I can take any questions or get you on to your next topic.
couple of comments. One is, you know, as you said, that people think maybe we can just turn on the printer and send out the invoices and get this taken care of. And since this has been out in the media and the situation and the department has been criticized in that way, I think it's been, you know, what I have learned so far around this is that yes, we were behind. Yes, we didn't get ahead of this. And, but the fact is we also, it doesn't really make a apples and apples comparison to a private business. And what we need to do is to have our accounts receivable at least at the level where it's comparable to other states, which we are not at. And our goal really should be to be better than any of those. But it's hard for the public to recognize that that still has this huge receivables issue that will always be trailing out, you know, 4 years. And I think I just want to be on the record that we have that. And then what that means is, of course, we have to have a structural fix and the legislature's help to have this because of the new reality on fire seasons. And I think that all needs to be just simply acknowledged, and I wanted to do that. I think the other point I would make, which won't feel as supportive, and I don't want to be dumping on people working 10 hours a day, but you know, if we talk about how out there in logging and with all the mechanization, relatively few people get a whole lot of work done out in the woods these days, and in many other industries. And we also, you know, in the world of accounting, the tools and the changes over the last few decades, especially the last 10 years, have been incredible. And I would suspect most CFOs out there would say, yeah, you should be able to handle 2.5 times as many invoices and transactions as you did 10 years ago with the same amount of staff. And that doesn't sound very supportive, but I think this goes to what you're both saying, the need for process improvements. There's every reason to think that we can do a lot, without just piling people on. And you know, I think we need to pile people on where we need to pile people on, but what the process improvements are.
Well, and I'd just maybe add a little bit to that. I think that, you know, you hear that, we were in crisis over this issue, and a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And I think that the governor's action in putting together this really high level group, and get resources to assist in this has been really, really helpful. And it's it's a really constructive effort, and I'm sure you would agree with that. And, I think it may enable us more than we have in the past to be able to confront these issues and get to good solutions. So, you know, you've got the CFO of state government involved in it, the budget branch of state government involved in it. There is good communication with, and the governor's office has been helped with this a lot. Legislatively about some of the issues and what needs to be done. So I think it's, you know, it's been a really helpful, constructive response to, I think, help accomplish some of the things that you're describing.
And I would just like to say the number one policy action package that we will be asking for is a structural fix to the cash flow issue. The other thing that would be nice, to where we could meet those kind of standards and improve over that is not dealing with disparate computer systems and the ability, or the underinvestment in IT, across, state government. And then the other nuance there is, everybody decides they need better improvements, and often so we have a different payment system that the feds use, and we have to use that sometimes. In my understanding from MGO, it runs pretty slow at times, And so just, there's just a lot of nuances that make it challenging, is the adoption of the technology or the solutions that are out there and the funding for that. I just recall back my summary of the legislative session so far. You didn't hear of any allocations towards fiscal accounting or support for IT systems around fiscal. So I obviously have not done a good job of convincing the legislature of the need for fiscal capacity. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah. If I could say one thing, Chair Imason, Board Member Kelly, to your point, you're dead on. Doug and I have had many conversations, staff versus systems. You know, in the last 6 months, forestry has brought online more systems, more process than it has in the last 6 years. But with that comes a lot of, you know, that's a big change for an organization. But if you look at, we're catching up 10 years of lack of updating, and now, you know, that pays a price, but we are focused on that, and it is going to be a key piece to getting over the hurdle. But we do mention it, you know, internal processes aren't going to fix this, but it sure make things a whole lot easier and make it more easier on staff and not burning them out working all weekends. Thank you.
I do have one last thing. We have a lot of new visitors in probably for the Board of Forestry meeting, which is our fire finance team has come here to listen to this conversation, which kind of shows their dedication and commitment to the organization. And I just want to thank them for what they do every day. So it's really appreciated.
Thank you.